You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a cafe book blogger here on Breadbox Media. And today, there is likely not a single one of us who has not heard of Mother Angelica. She was a true giant of our times when it came to evangelization. She is deeply missed by those who knew her personally, those who worked with her, and those who only knew her from watching her from their easy chairs on EWTN. However, thanks to the partnership between EWTN and Sophia Institute Press, her books or booklets are coming back to print. And that is what we are going to be discussing today with my guest. Brandon McGinley serves as editor for EWTN Publishing, Inc., a book publishing collaboration between the Global Catholic Media Network and Sophia Institute Press. His work has been published in print in National Review, Human Life Review, and the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and online at First Things, Public Discourse, The Week, and The Federalist, among others. He compiled and edited the book, The Joys and Challenges of Family Life, Catholic Husbands and Fathers Speak Out, for our Sunday Visitor. Brandon is a 2010 graduate of Princeton University. He worked in politics and pro-family public policy before joining EWTN, and lives with his wife and two young children in his hometown of Pittsburgh. Brandon, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. So I wanted to get into this right away and try and understand about this partnership between EWTN and Sophia Institute Press that has led to this series of Mother Angelica releases. So can you tell us a little bit about that partnership?
Sure. This would be about, I started about a year and a half ago, and that was when things really ramped up. It was November of 2015. And you know, EWTN, of course, you know, one of the things I think we'll get into a little later is how this is kind of EWTN coming full circle, because of course we know EWTN from the television apostles started by Mother Angelica.
Yep.
And now of course EWTN has a radio presence around the country and around the world. And so this so EWTN Publishing can be thought of as an expansion of the media apostolate of that Mother Angelica started back in the early 1980s. And of course, EWTN also now has news outlets through the National Catholic Register and the Catholic News Agency and so on and so forth. And so EWTN Publishing is then the book publishing aspect of that. And what is so kind of fitting about that is that while we think of Mother Angelica as a television figure, and certainly that is how she made her name, before that, the first kind of mass media operation that came out of the Our Lady of the Angels Monastery in Birmingham, Alabama, was book publishing, specifically the mini books that you mentioned in your introduction.
Hmm.
Back in the 1970s, Mother Angelica began to write these, what were called at the time, mini books. You could call them pamphlets, you could call them booklets, whatever you want to call them. They were the first, kind of mass media aspect of Mother Angelica's work. She had been giving talks around Birmingham and around the country. She had, her name had become known in Catholic circles for her kind of informal wisdom, for her ability to deliver deep theological points in a really practical way. So in order to make it a little easier for her voice to get out, the nuns said, "Hey, why don't you write some books?" And at first, Mother Angelica wasn't totally into that idea because she didn't have any experience with it. But as she tended to do, she jumped right in. And also, as she tended to do, she did so with the help of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. So all of the books that she wrote and that are now compiled in the Mother Angelica volumes that are being printed today, all those words were written in prayer in front of the Blessed Sacrament. She got a yellow pad of paper and sat down in front of our Lord and just started to write. And even though she didn't have a lot of experience writing, she wasn't really confident with this medium, when the nuns sat down to edit them, they were usually in excellent condition, required very little editing. And again, as she, you know, as was her habit, you know, she jumped right in, she asked for our Lord's help, and now we have this treasury of wisdom and of theological and practical insight.
Right. So far in this series, you've released Praying with Mother Angelica, Mother Angelica on Christ and Our Lady, and most recently, and the one I want to focus on today, is Mother Angelica on Suffering and Burnout. And yep. So that people understand this book, we did mention it, it was many books that this volume is compiled of. There's actually 6 booklets in this book, correct?
Correct.
And let me see here. I actually have it in front of me. I will tell everybody what they are. They are The Healing Power of Suffering, His Pain Like Mine, Dawn on the Mountain, The Gift of Dryness and Prayer, Spiritual Hangovers, His Silent Presence, and Jesus Needs Me. Now, had these booklets haven't been in print for a while, have they?
That's correct. They haven't been at least being churned out in the extent that they were in the 1970s. Back when these were first written, Mother had actually purchased using debt. She purchased, I think it was, I want to say it was our 13, I think the $13,000 worth of professional printing equipment, which the nuns did not know how to use because it was professional printing equipment, the type of thing that like people would take months, if not years, to learn how to use. And she just went out and bought it because she had trouble with the printer they were using, the offsite printing company they were using. And the nuns learned the equipment, and at one point they were turning out up to 25,000 copies a day of the mini books. And since then, I don't think they have been in print continuously, but you could still find them, I'm sure, down at Our Lady of the Angels Monastery and elsewhere. Right. But now what we have are these beautiful hardcover volumes that bring these books together in a thematic way, so they can be enjoyed in a more durable way over time. These types of books that can be passed down to friends and family members, make great gifts, and so on and so forth. Right. And so we're really excited to present this material in a way that is that feels kind of suitable to the legacy of Mother Angelica.
Right. And these particular booklets in this volume, about what time frame were these written in? Because this is going to lead into my next question. I think it's important to understand. These were written in the 70s, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So my next question is, because I think this is important, is we need to understand where Mother Angelica was in her own life journey when it comes to interpreting these writings of her own that she has on suffering and burnout. Because kind of we need to get inside her mind to figure out what she was, where she was at in time as she jotted these thoughts down. Because we know Mother Angelica had her own form of suffering that she dealt with throughout her life as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. One of my favorite things about all these mini books that we're bringing back out is how they are at once, like anything, they're products of their time. They're products of their time in Mother Angelica's life. They're products of their time just in the world around us. But there's also a timelessness to them that is also kind of distinctively Mother Angelica. So as you're reading through these, you'll see all kinds of teachings and thoughts, and sometimes even just little snippets that you'll recognize from her television ministry. Mm-hmm. You'll be like, oh, I heard that, or I recognize that. So you could see the seeds of a lot of the teachings that became her television teachings right here in these books. On the other hand, just as you're going through, you're going to see things you haven't heard before, things that either just never came out in her television ministry, or things that were just put in a different way in the 1970s than she might have put it in the 80s and 90s. And I think that is a really kind of interesting aspect of reading these. It's a combination of there being they're being products of their time while also being, like I said, intimately Mother Angelica the way, reflecting the timelessness of the faith.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Now, you mentioned a little bit earlier, but I'd like to get a little more detail on that. She wasn't sitting behind a desk when she wrote these booklets. She was in front of the sacrament when she did that, correct?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Which probably played an influence on the outcome of the product as well.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I mean, yeah, these books are truly the product of prayer in a way that is really tangible. Whenever I do my work, whenever anybody does any of their work, and I certainly don't remember to do this all the time, but it's a good practice. Again, one that I need to pick up a little bit more than I do, to say a prayer before you start your work, to dedicate your work to the Lord. These books were almost like prayers themselves. It was a simultaneous process in a way that I think that for me, I find totally fascinating and almost difficult to imagine. Especially if you're someone who thinks or writes or whatever very, very systematically, and you're relying on your own mind to take you places, whereas Mother was all about trust in the Lord. And that comes through both in the way the books were written and in the content of the books.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good stuff. We're going to take a quick break. You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Pete Sox, Catholic Book Blogger, and we'll be right back. Hi, I'm Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger, and your host here on Off the Shelf. Since my reversion in 2012, I've been providing readers with weekly reviews of books from today's top Catholic authors. I've done countless written interviews with folks such as Scott Hahn, Mike Aquilina, Elizabeth Scalia, and Cardinal Donald Wuerl, just to name a few, and all of these can be found on my site, The Catholic Book Blogger, at www.catholicbookblogger.com. In 2016, I launched Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media, where each week I bring on Catholic authors to talk about their books and the topics that matter most to Catholics today. Now you have a chance to support my work. Head over to breadboxmedia.com, hover over the Friends of the Show link on the top banner, and scroll down and click on my name, Pete Sox. You'll be taken to a page where you then click on Become Pete's Friend of the Show. For a monthly donation of $9.99 a month, you will get exclusive swag and content. Currently, everyone that signs up will receive an off-the-shelf coffee mug featuring my branded logo. Your support means more than you can imagine, and I thank you for it. God bless. Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, Catholic Book Blogger. We've been chatting with Brandon McGinley about his work with Sophia Institute Press and the new series of books they have from Mother Angelica, taking the booklets she had written some, I don't know, 40 years ago now, right, Brandon?
And yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Combining them into beautiful keepsake books, I'd say. Easy to carry, to take along, and they're just as relevant today as they were as the day she wrote them. I want to get in a little bit to what the context of these are, and I want to share some passages from the book itself. Again, we are taking a look at the latest one, Mother Angelica on Suffering and Burnout, and just flipping through the book, I landed on this page, so maybe Divine Providence, but she has this section where she says from the booklet, The Healing Power of Suffering, she says, we can be sure that dryness makes us patient as we seek to love God for himself. Mental anguish makes us depend upon his wisdom. Doubts increase our faith when we act according to our beliefs rather than our reasoning. Fear makes us trust God's providence and hope in his goodness. Anxiety leads us to distrust ourselves and release our problems to an all-loving God. And worry makes us realize our helplessness and instills a desire to throw ourselves into the arms of his infinite wisdom. This is just powerful stuff to read.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of as we were just saying before the break that so much of what comes out of these books is both a product of and then kind of gives to the reader through the content this theme of trust in the Lord. If there's one unifying theme to Mother Angelica's teaching, that's it. And to our life, that's it. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the things that's really important, both when understanding Mother Angelica's life and when considering, you know, her work on suffering and burnout, is that this isn't unrealistic. It's not. It doesn't have that kind of, you know, super. That kind of abstract optimism that's like, oh, well, just trust in the Lord. Everything will be fine. Mm-hmm. She came out of a life, or her life included a great deal of suffering, a great deal of physical suffering, spiritual suffering, emotional suffering. So she's not coming at this in this way that is kind of, you know, peppy, you know, everything's going to be all right if you just... No, she brings the experiences of her life to bear on these teachings. And so, and that comes through in these books. And I think that's for me is one of the most important things about her teachings on these topics is that, they emerge out of deep experiences of suffering, whether it's the physical suffering that she experienced her entire life. Whether, you know, it was in the early life, she had a mysterious stomach ailment that mm-hmm. was healed through a novena to Saint Therese of Lisieux, yeah. or the back injury she suffered in the 1950s that led to her being in a brace for the rest of her life. The list goes on and on, and of course culminating in the stroke she suffered in 2001, and we see then. A life that bears witness to what she's teaching in these books. And I think that brings an authenticity to the teaching, and it brings a realness to it. That I think for folks who have experienced whatever kind of suffering they might in their lives, and we all do to some degree or another, mm-hmm. that brings it home. This is not just someone speaking in the abstract. All of these things emerge from her life, and that comes through, like I said, in the way that these books are written.
Right, and you point out something there. I think that's a key to let readers know as they pick this book up, the authenticity portion of it. I mean,
yeah.
You know, if you don't know that much about Mother Angelica, maybe we should do a little synopsis overview here for us. What exactly was her level of suffering throughout her life?
Yeah. Whenever you read her autobiography, when you read her biography, you come across an almost comedic level of problems crop up in her life. And it's because it seems like at every turn, something goes wrong. At every turn, she's becoming injured. At every turn, she's you know, becoming ill. And what you can kind of see out of this is, and I think her life's a great witness to the, in fact, one of the names of the book here, The Healing Power of Suffering. I would say the purifying power of suffering, that she was given these sufferings by the Lord precisely because she could handle them. Mm. And her personality and character was such that she kept going through these things in a way that most of us would not be able to do. And right. So I think, you know, when it comes to the Mother Angelica that we know through television, you know, every time she's on the air, she's wearing leg and back braces,
mm-hmm.
Because of an injury she suffered in the 1950s. Previous to that, I mentioned her kind of mysterious stomach ailment that had her unable to work and often unable even to go to school. That was healed. There was a kind of mysterious knee ailment in the while she was first in her novitiate in Cleveland, Ohio. that almost prevented her from continuing in her vocation with the Poor Fairest Perpetual Adoration, because her knees were so painful that she couldn't kneel in prayer. And at that time, that was considered a sign that maybe God didn't want you in this life. And again, in a kind of miraculous way, she goes back to her home in Canton, Ohio, where the nuns are opening up a new monastery, and her knees become better. But then there's also the question of the emotional suffering that she could identify with. Her father left when she was quite young. It was mostly her and her mother growing up. And her mother was not always emotionally well and physically well, in large part because of the abandonment of her husband. Now one of the wonderful aspects of that story is that when Mother Angelica founds the monastery in Alabama, her mother comes down to Alabama and becomes a nun herself. And so Mother Angelica becomes the spiritual mother to her own biological mother. But that relationship was very difficult because, as I said, you know, Mother Angelica's father abandons the family when she's a toddler. And then at a relatively young age, Mother Angelica goes off to the monastery in Cleveland. And so her mother's feeling abandoned again. And so there was always that inflicted a great deal of suffering on both of them. Mm-hmm. That endured. Her life kind of runs the gamut of the types of suffering you can imagine. As we were saying, that brings an authenticity to teachings about suffering.
Definitely. We're winding down time here on this segment, but I want to read a section here, and we can head into it in the next segment as well. As I read through this book, I continue to be amazed at how timely this is, even when it was written 40 years ago. So sit back and think about the times we're in today as I read this. And this comes from the section on His Pain Like Mine. There are hardly any human beings who have not felt this pain of misunderstanding in their lives in some form or other. Our motives are rashly judged, or our virtue is called hypocrisy. Our ideas are too bold, or our caution called timidity. Children accuse parents of interference when loving correction warns of danger. We're tagged fanatics if Jesus is a part of our daily living, but when tragedy strikes, Job's comforters confront us with our lack of piety as God's vengeance strikes us from some hidden resentment that must be lurking in our hearts. When we're compassionate toward sinners, we're accused of imprudence, and when just anger makes us lash out, we are called uncharitable. The list of incongruities could be multiplied 100-fold, and the more we try to make them right, the more entangled we become. And, you know, looking at society today, wow. I mean,
yeah.
Incredible.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And this is a great example of something that would have been considered extremely timely in the 1970s, and it's still timely today. It really it goes to the heart of another thing that this section that you just read goes to the heart of another thing that you see a lot in Mother Angelica's teachings, which is not being taken in or obsessed with the respect of the world,
mm-hmm.
not becoming obsessed with earning the respect of a secular, what was in the 1970s a secularizing world, and I would say now a rather completely secularized world.
Yeah.
The more you kind of obsess over kind of earning the quote unquote respect of that world, the more, and I love the word she used, you're entangled.
Yep.
The moment you kind of loose yourself from one, you're going to be stuck in another because they're never going to let you out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just so, you know, like you said, it really hits the nail on the head, both for, the lives we are to lead generally with regard to the church and with regard to Christ, but then specifically in this day and age.
Definitely. So with that, we are going to take a quick break. You're listening to Off the Shelf here on BridBox Media. I'm Pete Sox, the Catholic book blogger, and we're talking with Brandon McKinley today from Sophia Institute Press. We'll be right back.
You are listening to BridBox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. BridBox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger, and today we're here with Brandon McKinley from Sophia Institute Press. He's talking to us about the partnership between EWTN and Sophia Institute Press that has been bringing us these fantastic books, compilations of booklets written by Mother Angelica, and specifically today we're talking about Mother Angelica on Suffering and Burnout. And Brandon, it's hard to believe, but Mother writes in very well thought out written booklet on the gift of dryness and prayer called Dawn on the Mountain, the Gift of Dryness and Prayer. I don't think many of us think of dryness and prayer as being a gift. Obviously Mother did. Can you talk to us a little bit about this section of the book?
Sure. Yeah, it's, it goes to a lot of the other things we've been talking about today where, Mother Angelica is not someone to endorse wallowing in self-pity. Now she's also not one to be cruel about it. She's experienced enough suffering herself, as we said, to have a certain authority to be able to say, time to buck yourself up. on the one hand, this book here is Dawn on the Mountain, the Gift of Dryness and Prayer, is in the section of the book on burnout. Mm-hmm. And I think, first of all, it's another timely thing. It seems to be so busy these days that it becomes very easy to become burned out, both emotionally and physically, and then, of course, spiritually as well. We see Mother's constant insistence to kind of turn back to the Lord, to place your trust back in the Lord again. While on the one hand she's not going to endorse wallowing. Mm-hmm. Neither is she going to be pessimistic. She's going to take what can be an extremely difficult thing and try to use it as a slingshot back into where we need to be spiritually.
Right, and here's another section again. As we're going through this book and as you thumb through it and read it, and this is a book that is perfect for reading it in the setting that she wrote it in Eucharistic Adoration. But here's a section that really jumped out at me. Only through the pain of dryness, where we decrease and He increases, can we begin to love God in the way He wishes us to love. When we pray, we are doing so on our willpower, for our poor human nature receives no compensation for its efforts. Faith tells us that God is present when we pray, and hope tells us He listens. But only love makes us continue to pray when darkness, boredom, and even disgust fill our souls to overflowing. Only a true love will persevere in praying despite darkness and confusion.
Yeah.
Powerful stuff. Powerful stuff.
Now, yeah, absolutely.
Now, did Mother feel this dryness herself as well?
That's a great question, and it's funny you should ask that, because as I was speaking before about the types of suffering that she experienced, I was racking my brain to try to remember any particular stories of what we might call spiritual suffering, whether it's, you know, dark night of the soul or it's kind of dryness in prayer. And I can't remember, I couldn't, like, tell you any specific years or times or experiences, but I, you know, suffice to say that these insights are not coming out of nowhere.
Right.
Like anybody who has that kind of deep relationship with the Lord, like, and it's the same with any kind of intimacy, with any person, or of course with the person of God, is that precisely as the intimacy grows, that's exactly when sometimes you have that feeling of distance. And so for someone like Mother Angelica, that feeling of distance or dryness or the dark night, as St. John the Cross put it, that is particularly acute because her kind of level of closeness with the Lord was so intense.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about, you know, intimacy with other human beings. She was very, she spoke about Jesus as a spouse just as any other person would speak about their spouse.
Mm-hmm.
It was totally natural for her to speak in that way. You know, there was nothing put on about it. There was nothing kind of inauthentic about that. It was just the most natural thing in the world for her to say my spouse, in the same way that any other person would.
Mm-hmm.
But that also means that whenever you're not feeling that relationship as close as you had, it feels easy, you feel that even more acutely because of that closeness.
Right, right. Now, there's a list in this booklet. It's called In the Praise of Dryness, and I'd like to go through that a little bit here, and we'll get some insight at the end of it. It's a rather lengthy list, but I think it's worth sharing. And she says, dryness makes us seek God for himself. Dryness detaches us from selfishness and selfish desires. Dryness makes us aware of our limitations, strengthens our faith, hope, and love. Dryness empties our memories of self-indulgence. Dryness empties our understanding of doubts and our will of lukewarmness. Dryness purifies our soul so we can reach for God. Dryness creates a vacuum that only God can fill. Dryness exercises us in patience, humility, and compassion. Dryness gives us a deep understanding of the difference between God and ourselves. Dryness is the transition period between various degrees of prayer. Dryness makes us aware of the beam in our own eye than the splinter in our neighbor's. Dryness gives us a yearning for God and a renewed hope in his kingdom. Dryness increases our thirst for God. And dryness helps us to practice the Beatitudes. There's others here, but that's a general summation of what this list is. I never even thought of any of that until I read this. I mean, you know, Mother Angelica, and we used to watch the reruns, the re-airs, I mean, WTN and whatnot all, but she was a smart cookie, even though she didn't portray herself as so. To sit there and listen to these callers call in, and she would fire back an answer without hesitation.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Absolutely. You know, it's easy to say, oh, you know, Mother Angelica, this grandmotherly wisdom, this kind of down-home wisdom, as if that's all it was, as if it were just this kind of, you know, practical wisdom shtick that anybody could pick up. No, these ideas, these lessons, this advice that she would give, like you said, right at the top of her head to a caller, is steeped in knowledge of Catholic tradition, of the scriptures, of theology. This isn't just the musings of a grandmotherly figure who's trying to buck you up.
Mm-hmm.
They might be that, but they are those things totally infused with a deep knowledge of the tradition of the Church. And so we see that here in the list that you just gave, where, as we were saying before, she's always trying to bring us back to to A, to trust in the Lord, and then B, using those moments of whether it's doubt or insecurity or dryness or darkness or whatever, using those as a slingshot to say, precisely that absence that you are feeling, that's a thing too. It's, you're not feeling nothing. You're feeling the absence of something real. In the same way that, you know, as we were just saying, whenever you dearly miss someone that you love, that is a reminder. That should not be an excuse to go farther away, but to be a reminder of the closeness that you desire. And here again, you know, she's looking at this painful experience of dryness, of distance, of darkness, and saying that absence should remind us of what presence is like. It should remind us of what we're missing, and spur us on to find it. But again, it's not just us going to some sort of great effort, although effort is required.
Right.
But it's a reminder that we need to trust in that presence that's there, and in order to help make itself known to us.
Right. Now, in your we got a couple of minutes here left for this segment. How has this book affected you? In the next segment, we're going to get into the third part of the book. But I want to get this question in now because we have time for it here to squeeze it in. How has this book affected you?
That's a great question. It's a great question. It's one of the great joys of this job is the privilege to be able to work with Mother Angelica's material. And you kind of get that feeling that you're working with material that very well might be read for quite a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, you know, there's a reason that as we're talking here, and as I've spoken to other people about this book and about others, there's a reason that the themes that I always end up talking about are trust in the Lord, and kind of, you know, trust in the Lord. I think that's, you know, that mm-hmm. sums it up. And that's because that is the thing in Mother Angelica's life, the thing in this book, the thing in her other books that most speaks to me as someone who I would say if I had to pick one disposition that I'm prone to, it is relying on myself, mm-hmm. relying on my own wits, relying on my own, personality or whatever other word you want to use. But that, you know, this is what so much of this book is about. It's about mm-hmm. how that gets you into trouble.
Right.
Because when you hit a rut, whether it's a rut of physical suffering or a rut of spiritual suffering, it's not your own resources that's going to drag you out.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, that constant refrain of trust in the Lord is something that's really important. And that is, you know, you see it as you're reading this book. You'll see it in written words, but it's also backed up in her own life.
Mm-hmm.
And so the combination of those two, the words in this book will appeal to the intellect, they'll appeal to the heart, but in combination with Mother's own experience and the way she lives her life, well, then that speaks to the whole person, body right. and soul. And for me, that's the most compelling part of this book and of her teachings generally.
Great answer. Great answer. So with that, we're going to take a quick break. You've been listening to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm Pete Socks, a Catholic book blogger, and we'll be back with Brandon McKinley from Sophia Institute Press.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger, and we've been spending today with Brandon McKinley from Sophia Institute Press. He's the mastermind behind the Mother Angelica series that they have out in their partnership with EWTN. We've been specifically talking today about the book that recently came out, Mother Angelica on Suffering and Burnout. And Brandon, in that last segment, I had asked you how the book affected you, and it almost seems as if Mother's either she's guiding my hands as I flip through the pages of this book, or she's setting us up here somehow. I'm not sure. But I had to randomly stop at page 201, which is in the booklet, His Silent Presence. And it goes like this. When you were talking about when we try and do things ourselves, that's exactly what she's talking about here. She quotes Paul saying, "Nothing can come between us and the love of Christ, even if we are troubled or worried or being persecuted or lacking food or clothes or being thwarted or even attacked." That comes from Romans 8:35. Then she goes on in her own words. This great apostle had experienced all these hardships, and he realized that his reaction to them depended upon the thing he sought most in life, the love of Christ. The core of our problem is in what we seek. If all we seek in life is perfect health, then we shall fear ill health, and this fear will occupy our minds constantly. If all we seek in life is riches, then we shall abhor poverty or privation of any kind. Our thrust will be geared towards the possession of things, so we never have to do without. We will fill our lives with fears and frustrations as we forever seek the things that elude us. Awesome stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's such a neat way to think about false idols, everybody has some concept of placing concepts or other things before the Lord, whether it's money or health in these two cases or whatever it may be, the way that she then ties it back to how these false idols are not only do they distract us from the Lord, but they also set us up for fears and anxieties and sufferings that we need not have experienced. And I think it's a really neat turnabout that gives you another way to think about this kind of important concept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as we continue through the book, there's some other key points to point out, and this one really struck me as well. It's in the booklet, Jesus Needs Me, which is towards the end of the book, and she talks about Jesus needs my love, and I never even thought of this. She goes into John, the book of John, where he's saying, "With me in them, and you and me, may they be so completely one that the world will realize that it was you who sent me, and that I have loved them as much as you loved me." And then she goes on to say this, which really struck me. His desire that we be so completely one with him has a ring of urgency, a burning desire that we love him as much as he loves us. When two people love each other, that very love proves to everyone that they belong together. Love proves that certain individuals in our lives are friends, and a lack of it proves that other people are merely acquaintances or even enemies. And this goes back way back to the first segment, Brandon, when you said about Mother Angelica often referring and openly referring to Christ as her spouse.
Yeah.
And, you know, reading that passage there, when I read Scripture, you know, I understand that Christ wants us to be his follower and stuff, but I never thought of it as being that great of a desire that was an urgency for him, because this is God we're talking about. But yet it's a God that's merciful and loving and wants us to be with him and desires that, but you don't really sit back and think about that until someone like Mother plasters it in front of your face.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right. Another one of the great things about these books is that they are the fruits of prayer and contemplation. Mm-hmm. As we said at the beginning, she wrote these before the Blessed Sacrament. But not only that, the charism of her order was perpetual adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. So not only were these books themselves written in front of the Blessed Sacrament, but so many of the insights are the fruit of that time spent at other times. Mm-hmm. At every moment, one of the nuns was before the tabernacle. And so, And so, and before the monstrance. And so that level of, and I don't want to say easy intimacy because it's not easy, but it's natural. Like we were saying before, it was natural for her to speak of Jesus as her spouse. So from that comes a certain authority and authenticity to be able to talk to us about what it means to be close to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then she goes on towards the end of this book, and actually it's in the last couple pages of the Jesus Needs Me booklet in this compilation volume. She says, "We are to radiate Jesus, and the rays of that light will shine to the ends of the earth and envelop every nation and its people, because we work together with Jesus for the salvation of all mankind. The greatest and most far-reaching light the Christian radiates to the world is the light of prayer. A Christian is never frustrated by his inability to reach men in different parts of the world. His God is everywhere, and he is a son united to his head, Christ. He has merely to whisper a prayer of need for a fellow human being in the furthermost part of the world, and that person receives some light, some grace, some relief. In union with Christ, the Christian is everywhere, always seeking to alleviate the needs of his brother so that his neighbor may one day know the love of Jesus." And then she closes the book with, "May the peace of Christ reign in your hearts, because it is for this that you were called together as parts of one body," and that comes from Colossians 3:15. And I think in light of the political turmoil we have right now between countries, that's quite a prophetic statement and paragraph.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that statement of the universality of the church. After all, the word Catholic means universal.
Right.
And with that comes a great challenge, to embrace that universality, but also a great peace that we are, in a sense, united with all the other faithful around the world, and we benefit from their prayers. And so when we are never, although we might feel it, and a lot of this book's about that, we are never actually alone. Yeah.
Yep, no, we never are. I want to give you an opportunity to talk about some of the other books in this series. There's two other ones. If we could recap them quick here. The first one being Praying with Mother Angelica was the first one that came out of this partnership. Tell us a little bit about what that is.
Absolutely. In Praying with Mother Angelica, we have compiled the meditations that Mother wrote for the Way of the Cross and for the Mysteries of the Rosary. So it's a short volume, but a great type of book that you could bring into adoration with you. Mm-hmm. Just use for your daily daily regimen of prayer. It's one of those books that's nice to have right on your nightside table and grab. All of these are actually.
Yeah.
Some of them are written with these short segments that can be done in like 5 minutes. But
yeah.
That's just a short book of prayers that Mother Angelica, meditation she wrote, around the same time as all these other books.
And then you guys followed it up with Mother Angelica on Christ and Our Lady. Pretty self-explanatory, but what's the basis for that compilation?
Sure. We have in there several mini books. The one that's most substantial is the one on, shouldn't say, but the one that's the longest is called The Promised Woman, and it's essentially a spiritual biography of the Blessed Mother. It's a truly unique, almost in some places, just mystical work that I think is unique. She delves into the psyche of the Blessed Mother in a way that I'd never seen anyone do before. And then there's several other aspects of that book that are asking us to, or that in which she kind of gives us a tour of the personality and the life of Jesus. So in this case, it is while remembering, always keeping in the foremost of part of our mind that Jesus is fully God.
Mm-hmm.
This is a tour of Jesus Christ, the man, that is really, really interesting, where she's saying, here are aspects of his character and personality that we see in the Gospels and that we can relate to as fellow human beings, and that we can also then use as both as guides to our own development of our character and personality, and also use in prayer. One of the mini books is called The Fruits of His Love. So these are the things that we can gain from, that we can profit from in meditating on the love of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Good. And I've been very impressed with all three of them. I've gotten something out of each of them, and it's good work. Now, as we're wrapping up the show here, by the time this airs, there's going to be another one out, and this one's called Mother Angelica's Quick Guide to the Sacraments. Could you give us a little bit of an overview of what to expect in that one, which I believe releases May 24th?
Yeah. In that book will be compiling the mini books Mother wrote that, as you can tell by the title, that give her teachings on the sacraments of the church. And each in a kind of inimitable, unique way. So we'll see some reflections on the sacraments generally and what it means to live a life in communion with the church. I'll have a lot on the Eucharist, of course, because mm-hmm. her charism was perpetual adoration. So we have things here on the Mass, on the Eucharist, on adoration. A short bit about marriage that I think people will find incredibly timely. And it will be another one of those parts where you're like, wow, this was written in the 1970s, but it could have been written yesterday.
Yeah.
Some wonderful work on confession that really is an examination of conscience that she wrote. That's just really, really challenging and really helpful. And then a section on confirmation that gives mothers reflections on the gifts of the Holy Spirit and on the having a relationship with the Spirit generally. And so each one of these tackles the sacraments in different ways. On the one hand, you'll see, it'll be organized sacrament by sacrament. On the other hand, each one is going to have its own unique little angle that it takes. So I think we'll find it to be both, in some ways, a familiar book in that everyone, has some familiarity with the sacraments, but also one that kind of challenges you uniquely in each chapter.
Great. Looking forward to getting my hands on that one. And I like to put people on the spot. What can you tell us about what's coming down the pipeline? How much more material is there, and how many more compilations do you think you guys can churn out?
Sure. There will be a few more. The number of mini books that were written, I don't have the number off the top of my head. It's about 60. She wrote about 60 of the mini books, pamphlets, some of which are long enough to be almost full-length books, some of which are a few hundred words in a tiny little pamphlet. They really run the gamut of size. But there's enough material for at least a few more books. I would expect at least three more volumes just of the mini book material. But remember, we have not even scratched the surface of her television material. And so it still remains to be seen exactly how that might, make fruitful books. Mm-hmm. Fruitful physical books rather than television material, but I wouldn't be surprised if we saw some of that in the future too.
Awesome. Brandon, I want to thank you from all of us for your work you put into this series. It's a great series, it's a worthwhile series, and it's a great tribute to Mother Angelica to keep her written thought alive for people that may not have heard her live on TV. So thank you for your work with that.
Thank you very much for having me.
And with that, that's all we have time for today. Brandon, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule and spending time with us. Any closing thoughts?
I don't think so. I would just echo what you said at the very end, that these books will extend Mother's legacy. Not that television wasn't enough, but that these are the type of physical things you can pass on to friends and family members that will extend through time the teachings of this great woman.
Fantastic. And with that, you've been listening to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger. And until next time, God bless.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.